This week's episode comes from our National Etch Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for Etch, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the Etch Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. I'm Chuck Peters, your host. We are recording this episode of the podcast at the Etch Family Ministry Conference in beautiful Music City Center in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, during the Etch Family Ministry Conference. So as you hear noises in the background and things happening, we have hundreds of children's and student and family ministry leaders who are in attendance here, and many thought leaders who are here to share their wisdom and advice and insight with our attendees. If you are not here this year, I want to encourage you to come next year to connect face-to-face with these wonderful thought leaders who are excited about investing in equipping you for better ministry. And I am joined by one of them here today, Mark Jones. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. It's good to be here.
Mr. Mark, as he is known by many.
That's true.
For those of you who may not know Mark, Mark Jones is a children's pastor who loves and teaches preschoolers, children, and their parents.
And their parents,
and
right.
Who also has invested himself in equipping other leaders
in
ministry. He regularly speaks around the nation to train and help overwhelmed children's ministry leaders get clarity and gain confidence and find the resources that they need to win. And so Mark provides free helps through his website, MrMarksClassroom.com. MrMarksClassroom.com. Say
that's
that five
it.
Times fast, but
that's right.
Go there and look to see what Mark has.
Absolutely.
And he is just a champion for kids ministry. So we are going to talk today about routine.
Oh, yeah.
And how routine can sometimes turn into a rut-tine.
That's right.
You don't want to get stuck in that rut, but you can break free.
Yeah.
And so that's the good news that you've brought. And so we hope in our next few minutes together that we will get some of your expert tips and tricks and advice and ideas to help us work through those ruts and to break out of them.
Good.
And so, Mark, tell us about that. How can a routine become a rut?
Well, I think people have really great hearts. They step into a teaching role. They want to give it their very best. And the truth is, they start getting other things in the way. They start moving toward maybe being on another part of the church or working on committees. Maybe the praise. Listen, this happened to me. I just got too busy. I was teaching in our preschool and our pre-K kindergarten class, and suddenly the music minister asked me if I would come and be on the praise team. It's like, what? The praise team? Yeah. I mean, if there could be a stage, if there could be a spotlight, I mean, I would.
So you're flattered at the invitation.
I'm so loving it, but there's no spotlight.
You've noticed how good I sing? You've noticed?
I just am so excited. And so I got to the church early. I set up my classroom, had everything ready to go in the centers. I went to the practice, and then each week it would get a little longer and a little longer and a little longer. And I finally I was getting to my class, and there were already kids there, sometimes even parents. Even though I had set it all up, they were dragging out all the things I didn't want, and I'm trying to, you know, put that up and get back to what we're, to stay on task. And I thought, this is crazy. This won't work. I've got to need to be where I need to be. And so I had to tell the music minister, I'm sorry, I can't be this busy on Sunday morning.
So in that case,
yeah,
an opportunity to do something that you enjoyed became too much. It got
and
in
I
the
told
way.
Him, I said, I love this, but this is my calling. This is what I do. I teach children. And so if there's another time you can use me, I'll do that. And it worked out. We went on Sunday night. But the truth is, I needed to be where I needed to be, where God had called me to do. Because the teacher who is too busy will just start smacking it out on the tables, make the magic happen, get through the session. And the truth is, Chuck, we can all do that. We're children's teachers. We're amazing.
We're driven.
We can do it. We can make the magic happen. And we have. I mean, in an emergency, someone said, oh my gosh, we got to have somebody go in there, take care of these kids this hour. No one showed. I'll go. We just go in. We pull it out of the cabinets, throw it on the tables. But the problem is, when you start doing that, Satan will rob your joy. Because you start believing you can just operate like that rather than be prepared, arrive early, get the job done correctly.
So there's a couple of issues there at play. One is to be aware of the reality that not every need constitutes a call.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of need, and we will constantly be met with more and more. We need to have good boundaries.
We will. We do need good boundaries. And I think understanding your calling, that you're going to invest in this as part of your life, that you're going to arrive, you're going to greet these kids, you're going to know them, and you're going to invest in them, is going to be huge.
So, but our topic today, the title of this discussion, fine-tuning your classroom superpower.
Yes.
So we, some of us feel like we have superpower,
yes,
but that can be the power of no.
Right. Saying, let your yes be yes and your no,
that's
no.
That's a hard thing for a lot of us to say.
It is true. It is true. But let me say, your first superpower that I want to mention is arriving early. Mm-hmm. When you get there early, you set it up, you're getting everything done, you're greeting the children when they come. That is huge. That greeting alone is a magical superpower into itself, because it's like the Maria Montessori. She came up with this incredible system in the Montessori method that there was a door teacher, and the door teacher welcomed each child as they came to the door, and she read their body language. She called it what she saw. You know, what makes you so happy today? Blake, tell me, why are you so sad? And just talk about it. Just read their body language, see what's going on, work through that. And this is true not only for preschool, but also for grade school. You see kids come in, they've got something going on, call their name, mention that, stand up and greet them at the door, and find out what's going on in their world, and connect. When you make that connection, then you've started a process that you really are going to enjoy in class.
And what a missed opportunity if we are running late and we're worried about getting something set
or
up.
Or you're in the resource room grabbing up a bunch of
stuff. Doing something else
yeah.
to miss that opportunity to meet them at the door and greet them, look in their eyes and make that connection.
Yep.
It just changes the whole posture of your time together.
The climate of your classroom can be so pleasant because you're the one who stood up and did the greeting. So right there is your big superpower, that you need to greet the child, start the conversation at the door.
So get there early.
Yes.
All right, what other superpowers do you have? I want more.
Okay, so another one will be the condition of your classroom. And when you get there early, you can see that all the stuff from Wednesday night still left out. You can put it up. Because that guy who teaches in there on Wednesday night never cleans up after himself. So why go in and be frustrated or angry? Go in knowing you're going to put some things up.
And so that's part of that is having the right expectation,
yes,
isn't it?
It's true.
We need to adjust those expectations to expect it to
and
need
take
to be
on
put up.
Servanthood. Just go ahead.
Because that can throw you into a bad mood if you go in there expecting it's set, put up and it's not.
Yes.
Or
exactly.
If you go in expecting it's not and it is,
exactly,
it's all a win.
So I think one of the things that I've noticed is the arrangement of the room. For one, for children, the arrangement of the furniture needs to be that it's mobile. You can push back tables and chairs in order to play the big group time game. You've got to be able to move it back out of the way. For preschool, it seems like I see more preschool classrooms where they've put everything around the room against the wall.
On the edges.
Bad idea. Super bad idea. Because all it does is invite skate in the same direction or run amok. You know what I mean? It's wide open. You need to have furniture that peninsulas out into the classroom, in those centers, creating those areas for learning. And then you can't run around and go crazy like that. And then the other thing that I might mention is you may be struggling in your classroom because you have so much stuff dripping off the ceiling or hanging on the walls. It's just so much. You know, some kids are very ADD. Other kids are just BAD. But nonetheless, you've got to make sure your classroom is not contributing to all of the craziness that could be going on. So you're the teacher. Make the classroom mind.
So you can create
you
an
set
order,
it up the way it's supposed to be.
Create an environment of order, and it's going to change the way.
Exactly. And really, at Mr. Mark's classroom, I even have ideas and pictures, things, how to set up a classroom. And a lot of teachers are just oblivious what it's supposed to look like or do. So I really encourage the classroom to get set up correctly. That'll be a superpower. The next one is communication. A teacher's communication can be an incredible superpower. Be affirming. Be positive. Mm. When you're inviting them into the classroom, tell them the things that they're doing well. That kind of a feedback to them is like life. Kids want to try new things, go farther, risk more, because you're affirming them. You noticed what I did that was okay, that I did well, and I want to try harder for you. And so a lot of discipline problems that come in, really we find start going away because the child wants to please the teacher. Mm-hmm. Be affirming. When you're giving instructions, just give a step at a time. Mm-hmm. You don't need to give the whole thing. Just give a step at a time. For preschoolers, you may need to sing your instructions because it's a novelty to the brain. And preschoolers will listen more and follow that better. Mm-hmm. And that kind of communication with affirmation, it's positive. It builds a relationship. And so make sure your communication is very clear, very sweet.
And sometimes the negative behavior that we see exhibited in a classroom that's disruptive comes because kids want attention. And so they find it, they use whatever means to get it, right?
That's so
if we can proactively make that a positive interaction,
that's right.
They know that we're aware of them and we're affirming the things they're doing. Great, great advice.
Well, there's like, let's say in a preschool group, there is a couple of children who aren't paying attention. But instead of just saying, hey, you too, whatever that is. So if you can stay away from that and really hear me clearly, never yell across the room. That's worthless. Don't do it.
But
get
not
up,
effective.
Walk over to them. But even in a group time, two kids are talking, I can say to little Kinley, she's sitting there listening. And I'll say, everyone, look, Kinley is listening exactly the way she's supposed to. Isn't that great? Thank you, Kinley, for doing such a good job. And if you want to be like Kinley and listen, would you all blink your eyes? Just blink your eyes. Let me see you if you want to be like this. And so everyone joins in. They're like, okay, now we're ready to go. And so we can. You can do things positively. It's very good. So communication is very powerful. I think one of the things that is missing in our classrooms with the teachers is they lack a relationship. This is probably one of the superpowers that is the easiest for us to work on, and that is to build a relationship with the child. And so right here, the beginning of the year, whenever you're starting, you need to know their names. Their names are so powerful. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is whenever you've had a substitute teacher and you were like, you don't know my name. Mm-hmm. And so I'll act like I want to. And we all have that tendency to go toward that. The sooner you know their name, the better. And so we even put in our classrooms boxes of name tags to use for several weeks because we want a name tag on the front of everybody over and over and over until you learn everybody's names. And I really want to say you need to know every child's name, first and last, and you need to know their parents' names.
Yes.
That needs to be your assignment when you start. You're going to do all things well, build those relationships with the children. That's going to be very important.
The other side of that is something that we've experienced as we've traveled the country and been in many different churches over the years, is there have been times when my kids have not known the name of their teacher.
That's true.
Do they know your name?
Yes.
And so, but there have been other times when, in some, you know, if you have a revolving door of teachers, there's not that steady involvement.
True.
Discipleship works in relationship, and so we need to make sure that our leaders are committed in there.
Yes.
And they know the kids, but that the kids know them as well.
Right.
There
exactly.
are a few people that my children remember by name, Mr. Mm-hmm. Johnny and Miss Shauna.
Yes.
And they stand out from all the rest because of the personal relationship.
Yeah. Isn't that true? That is so
it
true.
It is a superpower.
It is. It is. And it really says, I accept you, I approve of you. And when the teacher's listening to whatever the child has to say. That builds the relationship. Mm. Try to have good listening skills where you have eye contact with them, where you're listening for the emotion of whatever their story is. And tell them, oh, wow, that's incredible. That really made you happy, didn't it?
Yeah.
I can tell that is the saddest thing ever. And whatever it may be, you connected with them because you showed the listening skills.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal when you say, you know, that you care enough to listen or even to say I love you to the child. And the church is a place where you should feel loved.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, we have a couple more superpowers.
All right.
What's next?
Okay, the next one is be prepared. We talked about this a moment ago. When you come to your class time, being prepared is going to be the most important thing. If you're looking around the room trying to find whatever it is that you need, where are those chenille stems, and I've got to go find them, then you're disconnecting from the children, trying to just stay one step ahead of everything you have going on. So arrive early, sit down and set up your group time, put all of the things in order of your agenda right next to you, so you can just pick it up, put it in your lap, play the game, do whatever it is, lay it to the other side, then pick up the next one. And the kids all know, when this stack is moved to this side, that's when I'm going to be done.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter. You just have everything in order. And so when you get there, set up what the group time is going to be. Even if the chairs aren't there, go ahead and set up the group time things and pray for the children who are going to be in there. And then have all of your activities ready to go. So being prepared is huge. The next thing I would say is, in your group time, when you are giving the story, you need to really pause for a moment of conversation. So let me kind of walk you through it, Chuck. You're going to do like a music activity, a big game, large game activity. And a large group game is always going to be a win. I'm all for large group games. And then the big thing is it's large muscle groups, large motor skills, gross motor skills. Kids are movement. They're engaged. And girls like everything, but boys like that. That's a big deal to them. There's a lot of things they'll check out on. But they'll do that. And so when you get to through your game, then have something called conversation. A lot of teachers bypass this right away, but you must have conversation. So today we're talking about baby Moses. It's going to be the story of Moses. And so I asked the whole group, today we're going to talk about a baby. How many of you have a new baby in your house? And so we get to talk about babies that are born in their families, puppies, goats, I don't care, whatever. It's just conversation, and right, everybody gets to talk. And then I'll say, now I'm going to tell the story. And while I tell the story, I want you to listen, and then we'll talk after that. And then I go through the story. When you're giving the group time story, you need to have descriptions of what's going on. You need to appeal to their senses. You need to walk them through it with emotion, meaning you maybe drop your voice a little bit, or maybe you have big gestures or whatever, but you're all the time using eye contact, using the open Bible, and you're telling the story in your own words. If you're reading it off the back of the picture, then you're doing bad. That is wrong. They don't see your face at all. And I have this little intern right now that I gave him a chance to tell the story one Sunday, and that's what he did. And I was like, holy cow, that stunk. And so we just did it again. You know, we traded places, and I told the story using the Bible, and it was fantastic.
And then he can see you do that, and he can learn by example. What a great thing.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Mark, we're running out of time, but thank you so much for these great practical tips.
Great.
Every one of these superpowers. And listener, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to this episode again. If you didn't make notes, write them down. And I also encourage you, if you want to stay connected with Mr. Mark and more of his ideas, visit MrMarksClassroom.com. And look for the resources and tips and advice that he has there for you. Mark, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure. And let's do this again real soon. So,
I hope
listener,
so.
There will be more episodes with Mr. Mark coming up soon on the podcast. Listener, thank you for listening. As always, our desire is that after listening, you would leave more informed, more instructed, and inspired to serve in your ministry, to serve the Lord by serving the kids and families that he has entrusted you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. We hope you'll join us again next week right here on the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.